You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
So around the far turn, Nick's Go goes on with it. Opens up to lead by 2.5. Sprawls in a full-out drive. Independence Hall is as well. Tacitus comes wide for the stretch drive. Shared Sense in behind them. Racing for the eighth pole. Nick's Go opens up a little bit more. Now it's 3. Independence Hall trying to close in toward the inside. Then it's Tacitus and Shared Sense. But Joel Rosario is merely along for the ride. It is Nick's All Systems Go to the Breeders' Cup. Geared down, an effortless winner of the Lucas Classic. Independence Hall was second. It's tight for third. Shared Sense or Tacitus?
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, and welcome to this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. That was Travis Stone with the call of last weekend's Lucas Classic at Churchill Downs. Nick's All Systems Go, and they certainly were last Saturday, and of course expecting that that will be the case when he heads to Del Mar for what is expected to be a date in the Breeders' Cup Classic in early November. And guys, I have to tell you, this first topic is a bit of a head-scratcher to me. A few weeks ago, we talked about three-year-old Essential Quality being ranked number one in the Breeders' Cup Classic poll. He held that position for 3 consecutive weeks before stablemate Nick's Go took over the top spot and was the number one ranked Classic contender going into last weekend's races. Now, as expected, you just heard Nick's Go dominated the Lucas Classic at Churchill. He won by 4 lengths, and the chart read, in hand, glided away. So how is it that Nick's Go loses a spot and drops back to the number 2 position in the rankings following that dominant win? Timmy, you want it first?
Sure. I don't know what the big deal is. I've been voting for Essential Quality since this thing started. And I didn't change my mind after this race. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of astute voters on this panel. And I think they always look ahead. And, you know, Nick's Go has had everything his own way in these 3 wins he's had, the Cornhusker, the Whitney, then the Lucas. But in the Breeders' Cup Classic, you know, he's Medina Spirit, Hot Rod Charlie, Art Collector. They all like to run on lead. I don't think, unless Nick's Go is just a real, real super horse and can get away from everybody, but he's going to get some pressure up front. And I think that's what would set up for Essential Quality. And I've thought that from the get-go when this poll started, and I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, I was surprised that Nick's Go was ahead of Essential Quality that one week.
Dale, how does he lose a spot after dominating the race the way he did?
Well, I think it's pretty easy. I don't know. Everybody knows it's corruption, voter fraud. I think he'll be returned to the top. Just give it time. I hear they're already recounting in Arizona, doing an audit. And everybody knows there can't be a fair election or a fair vote. But what I don't understand is why we concern ourselves with polls. In horse racing, you line it up, first one to wire wins. If you support the winner, you get bragging rights. If you supported the loser, you blame the jockey. It's pretty simple. It'll all be settled in 3 weeks.
You know, we say the same thing about college football, too, and college basketball. What do the polls really mean anything? And truthfully, in the end, they don't. It's the team that wins on the court, the team that wins on the field. And this is very much the same thing. Nick's Go is still ranked number one in the NTRA poll as the number one best horse in the country right now. But he's not number one in the Breeders' Cup Classic poll. That's a bit of a head scratcher.
Well, I don't know if I've ever read a poll in my life on horse racing or paid any attention to it if I did. Line them up. Who gets to the wire first, that's the best horse, number one in the world.
Well, you know, the thing, too, is that these polls are made for discussion like this. This is what people like to do. They like to discuss things like this. And, you know, and I vote in both of those polls, and I voted for Essential Quality in both of them. So does that make me the bad guy? No, I don't think so. I think Essential Quality is the better horse, and I think he's going to prove it on Breeders' Cup Day because I think he's going to get the right setup for the race. And, you know, as far as the, you know, voter fraud goes, Dale, I think you forgot about Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Georgia, too. We got to check that out, too. A lot of bad things going on.
A full recount coming up next weekend, no doubt about it. All right, let's move on. The next topic is a topic that we have also talked about over the past couple of weeks, and it involves Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert, who has been certainly on the hot seat, to say the least, since the Kentucky Derby. We are still awaiting a decision on whether or not he is going to be allowed to saddle horses in this year's Breeders' Cup. Bob is the all-time leader among trainers in Breeders' Cup history by money won. He is second only to D. Wayne Lucas in the number of Breeders' Cup winners he has saddled. And with recent greatest stakes winners such as Medina Spirit and Gamine and Private Mission and Pinehurst and so many others, Baffert could once again be holding an extremely strong hand here in the 2021 edition. So complete this sentence for me, guys, and Dale, I'll come to you first. Bob Baffert not being allowed to participate in this year's Breeders' Cup would be?
Criminal. It's not the way things work in the United States. He's not guilty of anything. Innocent until proven guilty. And believe me, I'm not defending his bad test, but I am defending the process because it can happen to anyone. And my one question is, let's go back in history and find out if the Breeders' Cup has allowed anyone who is either on appeal of a suspension or a violation, or if anyone in this year's Breeders' Cup will be running that has a violation out floating out there or an appeal. I don't know. I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody, but I would bet if you start looking, you're going to find that someone has participated in the Breeders' Cup that has either been suspended and is on appeal or has a violation pending. It's just too easy for it to happen. And as far as taking points away, when you start using the Derby as a weapon and you're already punishing a man before he's ever had his hearing or his day in court, just there's something wrong with that.
You know, I think that Bob should be allowed to run in the Breeders' Cup. Like Dale said, he hasn't been proven guilty of anything yet. It's just a lot of hearsay, and not hearsay, but it's like he's being tried in social media. That all these people come out and really don't have any grounds to say anything, then they're basically branding the guy as the biggest criminal in the history of horse racing, which is certainly not true. I think that he will get to be allowed to run in the Breeders' Cup. It doesn't hurt that Pinehurst, the Futurity winner, is owned partly by Barbara Bankey, Stone Street Stable, and she's the new elected Breeders' Cup chair. I'm sure that'll help him. And I think that, he's... Say what you will about Bob, but he is the face of horse racing, and people know him like they know Tom Brady to football, to to LeBron James to basketball. I mean, he is the guy that people want to see when they're at horse racing, other than Dale Romans, of course. And I think that I think when all said and done, he's going to be in the Breeders' Cup.
Well, you bring up a good point.
And I think he's going to do well.
You bring up a good point, too, Tim. It wouldn't be fair to punish the owners of those other horses. You know, Gamine and Private Mission, and you mentioned Pinehurst. It's not fair to punish those owners for something that Bob is still, first of all, as Dale said, not even proven guilty of at this point.
Well, yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer, in my opinion. You got to let the guy run, and you don't... I mean, what are you going to do? It's take him out of his name for one race and put him in somebody else's. It's a joke. The horse has earned the right to be there. He's not proven guilty of anything yet. Let the due process run its course. I don't understand when Maximum Security gets disqualified in the Kentucky Derby, all you hear is we treat the Derby as any other race. We should treat it as any other race in all categories and let the process take care of itself.
And the other thing, too, is, we're a month away from the Breeders' Cup. I mean, it just wouldn't be fair to everybody if they're saying, like, it's going to be less than a month if they come out and say that he can't run. That's just not fair to anybody, the timing of it. It's just not right.
Would it be fair?
If they would do that.
Would it be fair, and that's a relative term, but would it be fair to say, okay, he can run, but his horses have to undergo extensive testing like they did in Baltimore for the Preakness with Medina Spirit?
Well, horses do for these big races already go under those testing protocol. There's plenty of testing. And if you got better testing, we should be doing it on all of them, not just because his name's Bob Baffert.
Yep.
Let's do extensive testing on all. But they have had a competition test, and they start cheat testing you weeks out and continue to. And they did for the Derby. And I've never heard one time what came up on his out of competition testing before the Derby ran. I'd like to know what the results were of that. It's just it's a bad situation all the way around, but we're just making it worse by trying it in this court of public opinion.
Yeah. All right, one more topic. Let's move on to this one. We have one more somewhat serious topic and then a fun one coming up after that. So speaking of medication violations, trainer Rohan Crichton was among five trainers based at Gulfstream Park serving a suspension with the Stronach Group and with all of their tracks for violating house rules regarding their clenbuterol policy. And I'll say that again, house rules regarding their particular clenbuterol policy. Crichton was hoping that he would be allowed to run his four-year-old filly, Bayesian Girl, in tomorrow's Grade 1 Spinster at Keeneland. However, Keeneland officials informed him this week he would not be able to enter. Do you guys agree or disagree with Keeneland's decision? Dale?
First of all, I'm 100% against any house rules. You know, the house rule, a regulation or a rule change in Kentucky has to go in front of the legislators. They have hearings on it. People are allowed to come and speak. It's a serious topic. The rule change or the regulation is vetted to make sure it's the right thing for the horses and it's fair for everyone participating. A house rule can be somebody who's just gotten hired on a whim deciding what this policy should be. And I think it's wrong for someone sitting in an office and going against state regulations to come up with a policy for a legal permitted medication that's proven very effective for cleaning up bronchial issues used properly. I don't understand what the house rule is. I'm going to have to look into it before I go back down there. But still, they are not none of those trainers are suspended by the state. Their licenses aren't affected from what I've read. The only thing is they've violated a policy and Gulfstream is refusing to take their entries. Seems very similar to a different issue where in Kentucky, a trainer they're refusing to take his entries, but yet he's still allowed to run in New York and California. You know, it's a dead horse we keep beating with Bob Baffert, but it seems like the exact same scenario, and yet he's allowed to run at racetracks in other states. These guys should be able to, too. I want to look more into the house rule.
Well, I think that it goes back to which I've thought that horse racing should have had years and years ago is a commissioner, like they do in any other sport. Let him be the one that makes the rules. You get different sets of rules at every state and every racetrack. I mean, it's enough to make your head spin. I think that if they had a commissioner for rules for every, all over, one commissioner for the whole sport, I think it would be a lot better for everybody. And I don't think you'd have all this confusion with trainers that get these rulings against them. And, you know, if you have a guy that says this is the rule, that's the rule. Then you go from there.
And yeah, that's but what I they don't even have a state commission on horse racing in Florida. It's really a joke. And it's run under one of the cabinet level departments, but they don't even have a state commission. Something like this would not happen in Kentucky because we wouldn't let a house rule trump a state regulation or rule.
So if you're a Keeneland official, does Bayesian Girl get to run in the Spinster tomorrow? Should she?
Should be running, no doubt. Should absolutely be lined up and running. This guy's not license is not affected, and it's a house policy that they've decided not to take his entries. He should exactly be able to run. The judge in New York said Bob Baffert got to run. If you remember when the state of New York tried to stop him from running, it's such a similar situation. The license is not affected in Kentucky as of yet, but Churchill's just decided they don't want him. It's the same situation. They should be running.
All right, here we go. Topic number four. Buy Hubby Hello Money was among the contenders in Thursday's featured race at Belmont Park this week. I personally think her name is, well, number one, hilarious and extremely clever. She is a daughter of FNX out of a mare named Shocking Behavior. So Buy Hubby Hello Money is an appropriate name. What are your personal top five best horse names of all time, guys? Timmy?
You want me to go five in a row?
Five in a row. Let's see what you got.
All right. I'm going to start with a horse named Marfa. He won the Santa Anita Derby in 1983, and people might say that's not such a great name, but to me it means a lot because back in the day, the Daily Racing Form wanted to hire me as a special correspondent when I was working at the Albany Times Union. And I said, yeah, I'll do it, but I can't use my name. So they came up with the name Ray Marfa. So I was Ray Marfa for a whole summer. So Marfa became a horse to me that was had a special bond to me, if you want. So Marfa is one. I'm going to go sort of one of my favorite horses, and I'm going to use her name as Swiss Skydiver because she has a cool name. And her name was came about because her owner, Peter Callahan, got a surprise video text message from his granddaughter one day, and he almost fell out of bed when he saw it. It was a video of her skydiving over the Swiss Alps. So that horse became Swiss Skydiver.
Love it.
My third horse, this goes back in 2008-ish, a horse named R. He was, from the old pirate thing. And I think he went 12 races before he broke his maiden at Saratoga. And Tom Durkin had a great time calling that horse as he was coming down the stretch. R. I still remember that. Southern Phantom was a name that I liked. It was from our old friend Eric Gio. The horse was named that way because he had such a unique white face. He looked like the Phantom of the Opera. So yep. I'm going with that one. And my fifth, I'm going back into the 90s, a horse named Flat Fleet Feet.
Yeah.
Was trained by John Kimmel, owned by his dad, Caesar Kimmel. And he liked to screw around with Durkin by naming horses that would be tongue twisters for him during a race call. And he certainly achieved that by calling a horse Flat Fleet Feet. So those are my five.
Love it. Dale, how about you? Your top five horse names.
I don't know if I'm going to come up with five real off the top of my head, but I will say this. FNX is the greatest of all time. If anybody knows that story, it's a veterinarian in New York that got divorced and lost every single thing but the yearling. And he named it FNX and ended up making $5 million. So he got the last laugh. So that's one of the great ones. Another one, Mike Pegram, as the story goes, bought a horse with Bob Baffert at Calder 2-year-old sale. And they got it off the van and it was sore. So he names it, Is It In Good? Because he thought he got screwed. And he ended up being a multiple grade one winner and dominant horse of his time. But I'm only going to come with three. The greatest name in horse racing, and it is still in our culture today, is Who beat Man of War?
Ooh. Upset.
Upset. Everyone thinks that that's a coincidence.
Yep.
But in truth is, it created the term of when an underdog beats a favorite. Upset. That's another upset. Before that, it was David over Goliath. They called it a David. It became an upset. It's still in American culture, and I think that's a cool thing about horse racing. Got to be the most popular name in history.
Dale Roman, strong with the racing history names. Outstanding, Dale. Dale, don't hang up. I know you like to hang up at this point when we get done with the topics, but I have one bonus topic that you guys don't know is coming, but I thought it was appropriate today. The 108th running of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity is part of a stellar Saturday card at Keeneland today. Our very own Dale Romans has saddled four winners in that race, which puts him two behind the all-time leader, Dwayne Lucas. Dale, you have two horses entered into the race later today. Timmy, Dale's most recent win came 4 years ago with Free Drop Billy. Stay with me on this one. This is good. But this isn't the only one that I want to focus on here today, because when you look at his other races, Free Drop Billy was a favorite. Dale's other three wins in this race came in 2015, Brody's Cause, 11-1. 2011, Dullahan, however you say that horse's name, 17-1. And 2005, Dawn of War, a 31-1 upsetter, the longest priced winner of the Breeders' Futurity in 92 runnings at that point. And Timmy, I have to tell you, those upsets immediately made me think back to Court Vision, who upset the 2011 Breeders' Cup Mile at 64-1. Little Mike, a 17-1 winner of the Breeders' Cup Turf. And Keen Ice, who shocked everyone when he knocked off Triple Crown winner American Pharoah in the Travers at 16-1. So, Tim Wilkin, I'm going to ask you, which trainer is better at pulling a rabbit out of a hat in a big race, Dwayne or Dale?
Wow. Well, I love Dale, but I think if you look at Dwayne's resume, some of the shockers he's had, I mean, you look at Thunder Gulch was 24-1 when he won the 95 Derby. Oxbow was 15-1 in the 13 Preakness. Charismatic 31-1 in the 99 Derby. commendable, 18-1 in the Belmont 2000. Spain, 55-1 in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. And to a lesser effect, Sporting Chance was 5-1 when he won the 2017 Hopeful over our friend Mr. Roman's horse.
He should have come down.
He should have come down. I was just going to say that, but he didn't. And, you know, but I think if Dale wins with one of his two long shots on Saturday, he's going to close the gap on Mr. Lucas. But, you know, two trainers that have a real knack of pulling a surprise when no one expects it. And I wouldn't be surprised if Dale pulls a surprise this week.
Dale, how do you pull it off? What's the key?
I would tell you the key was education Wayne Lucas gave me years ago, is when your horse is doing well, put him in the right, put him in the big spots. If you run up the racetrack, they'll talk about you for a day. If you upset, they'll talk about you for life. And if you got a horse doing well, don't listen to people, jump in. Wayne's been a great mentor to me, but let me just go out and save Tim from having to name Wayne. I've never been and or ever will be as good at anything in horse racing as Wayne Lucas, and I owe a lot of my success in these bigger races to him.
Well, I think you're being a little modest there, Dale. You fit in into the equation of the trainers that people listen to when talking about anything in horse racing. And I'm just not saying that because you're on the phone here with me, but I think that you're selling yourself a little too short there.
Yeah, that's why he's on this segment.
Only to Wayne Lucas. I'm better than the rest of them. It's just Wayne
Lucas in my head, too. All right, fantastic. Guys, appreciate it here. Hey, no technical issues with this show today. Well done. We got through it.
All right, fellas. Talk to you later.
Thanks. All right. We're back next week with another brand new edition of I Ask, They Answer. Tim Wilkin, Dale Romans, they will take a look at all the big topics, and that was fantastic. Really fun here this morning. I'm back to wrap it up right after this. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.